you can head on down. Junior church kids, you are dismissed. Everybody else, take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 4, if you would. Luke chapter 4. We're continuing our series through the book of Luke, going verse by verse. And I think this is the best way to study the Bible. And it's, I think, most helpful to us all when we just go verse by verse. The important thing is not what I want to say. The important thing is what God wants to say. And so I can choose a lot of different things and come up with my own ideas. But let's just stick with God's things and God's ideas. And so to reflect that, we just go verse by verse all the way through. So we finished chapter 3 last time. And here we are in chapter 4, picking it up now as we really hone in now on the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we're focusing on Him. We've seen John the Baptist. We've seen all the introductory stories to the life of Jesus, His birth and such. And now we begin to really see Jesus and His ministry on the earth. And so it'll be a blessing, I'm sure, as we study it, and a great challenge to all of us. Luke chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 1 down through verse 15, and then we'll pray, and we'll start looking at each of these verses individually. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, As it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, and keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Father in heaven, we are humbled again to come and open this precious book and to look at these holy words. And Lord, we pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would give us divine understanding of this sacred book, that we would give it honor and respect, that we would submit ourselves to it, and that as the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces, that we would submit to that work, making decisions as we ought. Lord, when we need encouragement, we pray that through your word you would give us encouragement. And when we need conviction, we pray that through your word you would give us conviction. And Lord, that you would receive the glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in Luke 4, we see what is the temptation of Jesus. And sometimes we look at a passage like this and we quickly think of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the one who is all powerful. We think of him that way. But I want you to think of Jesus not as the Son of God, but Jesus as the Son of Man. Jesus as the human being, because he was 100% human. And while we might look at this passage and kind of think to ourselves, well, you know, we'll try to learn something, but it doesn't really apply to us because I'm not Jesus, I think we need to take a step back and recognize what this passage teaches, and that is that what Jesus did, he did not by his own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus accomplished and what Jesus was able to overcome in temptation, we as well are able because we have the same Holy Spirit. And so let's keep that in mind. Let's keep remembering that Jesus is a human being here, and he acts as an example for us. So we pick it up in verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. We might think of ourselves, well, why would he need to be full of the Holy Ghost? He's God in the flesh. What does he need the Holy Ghost for? But I think it's because he's living as a human here, giving us an example, and depending on the Holy Spirit, we as well must depend on the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And that filling of the Holy Ghost is different than what we looked at before, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember, we looked at John's baptism. We looked at how Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit from Acts chapter 2, how that the Holy Spirit identifies us with the body of Christ, with the church, by giving us his Holy Spirit. Or Jesus does that by giving us the Holy Spirit. And so we are baptized, identified, and that happens by the Holy Spirit. Well, here we see not the baptism of the Spirit, but the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. And I want to just tap into this a little bit here. So keep a finger here because we're coming back to Luke. But if you would, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we just preached through Ephesians a few months ago. And so we're going to look back at Ephesians once again. Ephesians chapter 1, and then I'm going to look at a verse in chapter 5 as well. Ephesians chapter 1. And if you can't find Ephesians, look in the table of contents. You can find it there. It's in the New Testament, one of the epistles there. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to look at verse number 12, read down through verse 14. Verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In those couple of verses there, we see that that the Holy Spirit is given to the believer, he seals the believer, and that Holy Spirit remains with the believer as the down payment of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That is, the Holy Spirit residing in us is that little down payment that says the rest is coming. The rest is the glorified body, all the glories of heaven, all of eternity. That's on the way. The Holy Spirit is that little taste of heaven that God gives us now that is the down payment of what is to come. And so we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You will not lose the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He will stay with you forever. God isn't an Indian giver in that way that we think of it. You know, he doesn't give and take back. No. Once he gives you his Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. And you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. It's not like you get portions of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's either indwelling you, living inside you, or he's not. And if he is indwelling you, then you have all of him. Okay? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so he indwells you. The filling, however, is slightly different. Look ahead in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, where we have this curious verse. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is saying, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's a fact. In chapter 5, we see the Apostle Paul giving a command, an admonition. You be filled and continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we might think to ourselves, well, wait a minute, I thought I already got him. What does this mean, be filled with the Holy Spirit? If it happened when I got saved, then what does this mean, be filled with the Holy Spirit? And it's tied to not so much how much of the Spirit do we have, but how much of us does the Spirit have? You think of it that way. Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? You've got all of Him, but does He have all of you? And to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to yield to His influence rather than other influences, such as in this verse, alcohol. You yield to alcohol, it influences you, and it takes over in some respect, and it affects everything you do. In the same sense, we ought to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to influence us in everything that we do. When I give myself to the Holy Spirit, then I am being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what we're seeing here in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is fully yielding to, submitting to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and His direction on Jesus' life. Jesus was constantly in submission. Submission to the Father, and submission here to the Holy Spirit. And so He submits to the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Holy Spirit, so that when the Holy Spirit says, do this, do that, go here, go there, that's exactly what Jesus does. In the same sense, when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit says go, we go. We must, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we choose not to go when the Holy Spirit says go, then we are withholding ourselves from the Holy Spirit's direction and power, and we are not filled with Him. We have Him, but He doesn't have us at that point. And so be filled with the Holy Spirit, yield to His influence, and allow Him to call the shots in your life. This is what Jesus does. Back in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led, there it is, He was led by who? By the Spirit into the wilderness. That's a sad phrase. Sad in that there are times when the Holy Spirit leads us into what we might think of as the wilderness, a desert place where there isn't much going on. And this happens. This happens. In fact, another passage in Matthew makes it clear that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and then it gives these couple words, to be tempted. To be tempted. Yes. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. And the fact is, there are times when the Holy Spirit will lead you and I into a situation where we are tempted, where we are tested to prove our faith, to produce fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit will lead us to temptation. Why do you think it is that when Jesus prayed the model prayer, He said, lead us not into temptation? Because there are times when God does lead us into temptation. Interesting to think about it. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into this wilderness, into this place where He would be tempted. And He does the same for us. Well, why in the world would the Holy Spirit, would God lead us to be tempted? I want to get away from temptations, you know? I want to get out of those situations. Why would God lead me to that? Keep a finger here, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. That's after Hebrews, towards the end of the Bible there. James chapter 1. We see the same word, tempted, temptation right here. It's the same Greek word, James chapter 1, and I'm going to read in verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's one of those verses you just think, where's the whiteout? Can we just remove that one? That's like one of those impossible verses. And you know what? For us, it is impossible. But when the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading, and we are yielding to the Holy Spirit, guess what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is? Love, joy, joy. You yield to the Holy Spirit when He leads you into temptation, and you will be able to count it, reckon it as a joy in your life when you are tempted, when you fall into diverse different kinds of temptations, knowing this, verse 3, that the trying or the tempting or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Wow. This is the verse where we think of when we make that funny little statement, I'm never going to pray for patience because you know what God's going to do? Lead me into temptation so that I might learn that patience. Well, God's going to produce patience in you one way or another. And if He leads you into it, it's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for you. That temptation, the trial of your faith, works patience. And so here Jesus, back in Luke chapter 4, is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. God is teaching the Son something here, showing Him something. Verse number 2 of Luke chapter 4, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Isn't that an interesting statement? Usually we think of Jesus in the wilderness, He's fasting for 40 days, and then the devil comes and tempts Him. But that's not what this says. This says for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by the devil. And we just get a little glimpse of it in the passage that we read. Just three of those temptations. But 40 days of temptation, that's a lot. That's a lot. And the Holy Spirit drives Jesus, compels Jesus to go into the wilderness to be tempted. And He's there 40 days, tempted of the devil. And in those days, He did eat nothing. Wow. This was a time of fasting. Fasting and prayer. It's interesting to think about. Before Jesus' ministry that would revolutionize the world, before His ministry of eventually leading to the cross that would provide salvation to the world, before that ministry began, Jesus started with 40 days of fasting and prayer. Now, I know how it is. We feel that God is leading us to do something, and He gives us, He gives us a burden to do something. And immediately we think to ourselves, okay, let me at it. I'm ready. I'm going. Okay. And we want to get right to it. And sometimes when we do that, we jump right into something, we fall, we fail, because we have not learned to depend on the Holy Spirit to do the work. And so Jesus here, I think, establishes a pattern for us in some respects. 40 days of fasting. 40 days is a long time, isn't it? Have you ever fasted for any purpose? Maybe you've fasted for some kind of surgery, preparation for surgery, and you have to fast for, 12 hours or 10 hours, and you think, I can't do it. Come on. I'm so hungry. 40 days? Where God guides, He provides. I can't imagine fasting for 40 days. I've never fasted for 40 days, but I know that if the Lord had led me to fast for 40 days, He would sustain me, which He does for Jesus. He also did that for Moses. He also did that for Elijah, 40 days fasting, as they prepared for their ministries. Interesting that Jesus follows that pattern. And God sustains him as God had sustained other servants of his. For 40 days, Jesus fasted and prayed. What would he have been doing for those 40 days? Talking to the Lord, praying, perhaps rehearsing in his mind the precious words of Scripture that he had memorized. In the wilderness for 40 days, Jesus was there preparing for his ministry. Time in prayer is never wasted. Perhaps our thought in today's crazy, wild, busy world, we think, oh man, 40 days, man. There's so many things that Jesus could have done in 40 days. Really? Maybe Jesus did the best thing he could. And maybe the result was his incredible ministry, because he fasted and prayed for 40 days. Maybe it is that the Holy Spirit is calling you to a time of just fasting and prayer, a time where you sit and just learn from him and just fellowship with him. Maybe God doesn't want you to charge ahead and do this and do that and be active. Somehow we think that the more busy we are in Christian service, the closer we are to him. But sadly, the opposite could be the case, because we tend to yield to our own flesh and do the work in our own ability rather than drawing on the supernatural strength of God himself through his Holy Spirit. Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days, and it was not wasted time. So, after those 40 days, it's no wonder it says here, and when they were ended afterward, he hungered. I should say so. Jesus was hungry. And what a time for this temptation from the devil. Verse 3, the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Notice what the devil does. He appeals to Jesus' pride, and he does this often, not as though Jesus had pride, but he attempts here. And the devil does this to us as well. He tries to get you with pride. So he says, if you're the Son of God. If? What do you mean if? Jesus is the Son of God. There's no if there. He is the Son of God. There's no question. And perhaps if Jesus were sinful, that pride could rise up in him and say, what do you mean? Of course I'm the Son of God. I'll prove it to you now. That's what the devil wants to do for you. He wants to try to draw out your pride. And so he says to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And the first temptation that the devil offers to Jesus is a temptation of the flesh, a temptation to do something, specifically to eat something. His body is crying out for food. And you know what the fact is? Jesus could have eaten bread and not done anything wrong. However, when the devil tempted him to do it, and if Jesus were to do that just to prove himself in pride, then it would be wrong. And anytime you listen to the devil and do what he says, it's wrong, okay? And so there's nothing wrong with eating bread, but there's something wrong with listening to your flesh and listening to the devil. And so Jesus is tempted by the devil here in this fleshly way. I want you to see something in 1 John chapter 2. Keep a finger here. Now turn to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, we see what the world offers by way of temptation. 1 John 2 and verse 16. Now let me start with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Interesting. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the summary of temptations that come to us in life. The summary of temptations that the devil sends our way. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the very first temptation that Jesus faces is the lust of the flesh. Jesus is tempted to do something for his flesh. It's the temptation that we face all the time. The devil tempts you to do something, to enjoy something in your flesh. And that's all the world is offering to you. The devil tempts you to partake and enjoy and make your flesh happy. It's interesting also that when Eve was tempted of the serpent, she found that, yes, that temptation was good for food, for the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, desired to make one wise, the pride of life. Interesting. Same temptations that the devil throws at Eve, he also throws at Jesus Christ. Back in Luke chapter 4, the very first one is the temptation of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. What is Jesus' response in verse 4? Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Of course, Jesus combats the devil with the word of God. And we know from looking at this passage before that is our defense, that is our hope, that is our offense as well against the devil, is the word of God. When the devil comes, you've got to have some Bible verses ready. You've got to be meditating and memorizing the word of God so that when the temptations come, you're ready. You're ready to combat the lies of the devil, because he comes with lies all the time. And our own flesh, boy, we like some of those lies, and we cave into some of those lies. But the word of God stands in stark opposition to the lies of the devil. And so pull out the word of God. So sure enough, Jesus pulls out a Bible verse. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The context of this is manna. That's interesting. God sends manna to the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they go out and they pick up that manna as much as they need every day. But they can't take more than they need. They can only take what they need every day. Remember the story. If they took more manna than they could eat in that day and try to store it up for the next day, you know what would happen? It would rot. And there would be worms in there. It would be a disgusting mess. Even if they tried to get more, they couldn't get more. And so what did they have to do? Every day, they had to go out and get the manna. Every day. And in that context is this verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How often do you think you need to get words from God? Every day. Every day. Get in the Word every day. You've got to do it. It's your meal. You won't have enough today to last you all week. We're spending some great time in fellowship around God's Word, but I'm telling you, what you receive today is not meal enough for tomorrow. You've got to come back to the Word tomorrow. You've got to get the meal again tomorrow. And Jesus understood that the physical bread was not going to sustain him. What would sustain him was the Word of God. How do you think Jesus survived 40 days without food? The Word of God. And so that's true for us as well. What do we really need? We don't need another meal. You know, we don't need another meal, right? What we really need is the Word of God. I need more of this book. You need more of this book. The Word of God is so precious. And so Jesus responds, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, my intention this morning was to get through all three of these, but that's not going to happen. It's almost this afternoon. So, we're going to stop right here. And we'll pick it up in verse 5 next time as we continue studying through Luke chapter 4. But let's just think of those thoughts there. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Or are you approaching the work of God by your own power and your own ability? Has God called you to a season of prayer and fasting in preparation for ministry? Or are you rushing ahead, doing it your own way? And are you coming back to the Word of God for your meal every day? Are you sustained by the living Word of God? Or are you thinking, I can survive till next Sunday? It's not enough. You got to get it every day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you've shown us in Scripture. I thank you for how Jesus was tempted so that we ourselves could understand the way out of temptation. Thank you for how Jesus used the Word of God. Lord, may we come back for a meal from the Word every day so that when the devil tempts us every day, we'll have what we need to combat his lies. Lord, convict our hearts and show us our desperate condition and our need for the precious Word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name.